My name is Tomi Sojourner, and I live in Lachine, and I've been in Quebec for just over 3 years.
You went to the Régie des Logements, which is the body that deals with housing issues, tenants and landlords, on June 11th. Can you tell me what happened to you there?
Well, the judge treated me in a way that was not proper, in terms of I was looking for someone and hoping she would be impartial and do her job, and what followed was a way of taking my dignity away from me. For instance, when I got into the courtroom and I sat down, I had a witness. She never addressed my witness or myself. She then went on to call me Monsieur Sojourner. I immediately corrected her and said it was Madame Sojourner. She proceeded to say, barked at me and said, just answer my question, and asked me if I spoke English. From there, I felt that I was put in a position where I was not able to get a fair hearing, and that who I was as a human being was completely disregarded.
Why would she call you Mr. Sojourner?
From her response, after several back and forth of Madame, Monsieur, she just turned around and said, well, maybe it's your bald head or something. So her perception of me was as a black male, and how I identify as a woman. I have a particular big build, and I present in a way that perhaps is read, not in a way that I wasn't wearing a dress, I was wearing dress pants. And so whatever she was reading still didn't change the fact that she did not treat me with respect and dignity in a way that was fair and equitable, and showed a particular bias against who I was as a human being. She didn't know me, and from there I was not able to even have a presentation of my case, because her bias prevented her from hearing me and hearing anything that I had to say as valid.
Do you think her bias was just limited to gender, or how she perceived your gender, or were there other things that were affecting the way she was treating you?
I think it was a combination. Basically, I think it was like an intersection of things. So race, I would argue, would be forefront of how she perceived me. Her assumption around black masculinity or masculinity in general, and whether she believed that I was a woman or not, really wasn't for her to decide. She's there to be impartial. So whatever she was thinking or seeing, and whatever stereotype she was applying to my case and me as an individual, I can't speak to what she was actually thinking. I can only speak to the impact on me, and that was whether she thought I was a man or a woman, and somehow felt as though she thought it was humorous to go back and forth and depict me in a way that didn't deserve respect.
Can you tell me how this affected you while you were sitting there? How you thought about the way that she was perceiving you and making assumptions?
Very hard. Well, the impact on me is, I felt very, not only disrespected, I felt very ashamed. And I felt that, not only myself, but other people who are either don't present in a particular way around gender, how they're mistreated and subject to abuse, and a sense of someone's entitlement that I didn't fit a gendered norm. And I thought about that when I was sitting there. It's like, if I had been wearing a dress, would she treat me in the same way? And to have to think about that part of my humanity, as opposed to here are the facts, this is what I should be working through, as opposed to defending the very character of who I am, to someone who really doesn't care the impact of her words or her actions or her behavior. So, I just kind of dialed it back and just proceeded. And my hope was that at the end of the day, at least I would get a postponement so I could gather my facts and my evidence and move forward. But it was shameful. I felt ashamed of the body I'm in. And it's devastating.
How this affects your access to justice in general and other people that may have the same experiences?
Well, and there was no access to justice because there was no justice served. The injustices of having to sit there and to be dissected by somebody who is representing the state. And I did not have my day in court, my hearing. And I can't imagine. I mean, the work that I do as a professional, I do diversity work, I do inclusion work, I do self-advocacy. And in that moment, I had to pull on the resources of the training that I had, and I was still and am devastated by what happened. And so I thought, if I was not in the position to have the access to the training and the mental debriefing that I was going through at that time, what would have happened to me? And you know what, my mind goes to the fact that so many people who are queer or LGBT who may go through this. You know, I know what the suicide rates are. I know what people, the devastation and the systemic discrimination, the fact that people don't have access to resources or proper mental health care or any of these things. And after the fact, I was reflecting on that. What if I didn't have anybody or these resources? And I think that it's shame on the court system, shame on the judge for feeling, for replicating an act of discrimination that, although people think is invisible and intangible, it is very tangible the way it acted out on my body, and that I'm still feeling it, and that these issues need to be addressed. On not only her held accountable for her actions, she's operating in a system that allows her to do these things. And it's no different than her hitting me with her car or her coming up to me and punching me in my face. And that's the indignity that I went through and that I am still dealing with. And at the end of the day, it should have been about the facts and not about my humanity.
Thank you for speaking with Tommy.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, so you just were in a press conference here in Carr's office. I'm wondering if you can just tell me what were the main points that you shared today.
Okay, so the main points I shared was really my experience in the hearing room, what the judge had said to me in terms of referring to me as Monsieur, and the constant use of male pronouns, and the impact on me. And the fact that I'm looking for justice in terms of making sure that this process hopefully never happens to somebody else. And that my intent when I went into the room was to have a fair and impartial hearing, and that that would be remedied so that the next time I go in, that that happens for me.
Today you announced an action that you took. If you could tell me what this action is and what you hope comes out of it.
So I am basically filing a complaint. It's in the process of being filed with the administrative Judicial Council, and that is a body that deals with judges in Quebec, and in particular that I would like them to deal with, address the concerns that were raised of judicial bias, and to have part of the remedy is that there would be mandatory training on anti-discrimination, unconscious bias, and in particular that judge would have to go through a series of mandatory training around unconscious conscious bias and her behavior towards people from marginalized communities. And so that in the future, or the next person who goes into her courtroom, she thinks twice before she feels like she can be dismissive and be demeaning towards an individual, and that there's consequences for her actions. Because who knows, if she had ruled in my case, I have no idea what the outcome would have been. But my main concern is not so much those pieces, but it's the treatment that I received. And that's what I would like as a remedy, that they address that. And actually, I get a letter of an apology.
Why are you putting yourself out there like this, going public with this?
I'm going public with this because the experience that I had in the courtroom, given if I work as a management consultant in years of diversity work, and I've had many various negative and positive experiences, I was shocked. And I was kind of rattled to my core that this would happen in a court of law, that I had basically, I had no power. And this individual had the power to determine whether I owed $9,000 or nothing. And because she was unable to see me or didn't want to communicate with me in any way because of how I was perceived by her, that I lost a lot of my civil rights in those moments. And for me, this is not about my case only. I'm sure there are people walking in Montreal and different parts of Quebec who've had similar experiences, who may not have the same resources that I do to be able to speak up. Because even if there's retaliation against me, I'm quite comfortable in staying steadfast and grounded that this has to be addressed. This is not just a one case, one off. There's a systemic issue here of discrimination that's happening against racialized communities, against communities who are don't speak French as their first language and may not have a clear understanding, and against the in terms of gender identity and sexual orientation, there are very few protections for transgendered folks, for folks who are perceived to be transgendered, and in terms of the loss of my civil rights and anybody else's, that we need a platform to hold people accountable, especially with people with an incredible amount of power behind them, to make some significant changes in the way Quebec runs its institutions.